Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of John, chapter 16. We'll begin there, going right into chapter 17. Title of our message today is Keep Them From Evil. Folks, we live in an evil society. Satan has done his job well. Shall we stand together? John chapter 16, beginning at verse 33. And then we'll read the first two verses of chapter 17. These things, Jesus says, I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. May I say this right now? True peace comes through our Lord. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day. Thank you for these words that were spoken by our Savior. And may we realize, Lord, that in this world there's tribulation, but in you there is peace. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In verse number 9, Jesus says, I pray for them. Those who are given to him. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, those who have accepted Christ as Savior, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Pastor Charles Lyon, Armitage Baptist Church, Chicago, Illinois, writes, outside the broad boulevard fronting our church building was blocked, creating a two-block space for the Red Moon Theater's Halloween extravaganza, All Hallows Eve ritual celebration. In the unseasonable warm dusk, people heading into our evening service, I like that, heading into the evening service, walk through a smoky haze of ceremonial fires. The sounds of chants set to native drumming help create a haunting atmosphere. The event flyers referenced guiding the souls of the dead into the next life. Inside, I was preaching through the book of Revelation. I had not foreseen Halloween falling on a Sunday, but as we came to the text, I thought, how interesting. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Revelation 2:13. He ends with a quote by saying, no church drama team could have set the stage for this message more powerfully. Again, in chapter 17, let's begin reading at verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What should separate us from the world? Does this word mean something to you? This is precious. This precious old book. We need to read it. We need to know it. It needs to be ours. Not the pastor's only. Ours. It's our book. God has given it to us. Separate us. It says, sanctify them. Take your Bibles quickly, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to do my whole sermon today. And you say, Pastor Paul, what if it gets past 12 o'clock? Well, I'm going by yesterday's time. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You have it? And you hath he quickened. What's it mean, he hath quickened you?
Made alive.
Who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Don't you love verse 4? But God. You know, we were all doomed and damned and headed for a Christless eternity in hell. A place of torment. A place created for the devil and his angels. But once man fell and once they sinned, then they also would spend eternity in hell without a Savior. It bothers me no end how many churches today have stopped preaching and teaching the very Word of God. It bothers me that there are those churches that say if you work hard enough, well, maybe God will let you in. Well, that's a lie. See, the Lord did all the work. He died on the cross. But Satan counterfeits everything that is God's. May I say this? Nowhere in the Word of God does Jesus say, pray to Mary. Nowhere. Jesus never told us that Mary did anything for your salvation. And yet there are those who teach that. Mary doesn't pray for you. Mary would be embarrassed if you prayed to her. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. Who has told us, go to Mary? Who has told us, pray to angels? Who has said, if you work hard enough, our enemy? And just as Dr. Mark was talking about Balaam saying, let him come and worship, there are lots of false religions in our world today. Keep them from the evil. And that means evil religions, evil teachings. Keep them from the evil. Let me get back up here, book of Ephesians chapter 6. You're already there in chapter 2, correct? Now go to chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, Paul is writing to the church there at Ephesus. It's nearing the end of his letter. Can you ever imagine what Paul could have done in today's society with social media? Wow. He'd have used it for God's honor and for God's glory. You that use social media, make sure it's God honoring. Don't lose your testimony in your texting. And if there are people who are using vulgarity and things like that, what do you call that, Donna? Unfriend them. You say, but no, you don't need that garbage in your head. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. He's crafty. He's sneaky. He will deceive. Be on guard. Put on the whole armor of God, it says there. Because in verse 12 it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. May I say this, that if the Lord would open our eyes to the spiritual battle going on right now, even in this room right now, there's a spiritual battle going on between good and evil. Because Satan doesn't want you to listen. He doesn't want you to follow. He wants you to be angry. He wants you to have a life in which you're frustrated. He wants you to blame God for all the problems in your life. He wants you to be mad and angry. He wants to deceive you. The Lord says, I pray that you keep them from the evil. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9a says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Folks, we must remain strong in our faith. Take your eyes off people and put them on the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Again, Pastor Lyon writes, Americans, in our slick, sophisticated, westernized, homogenized Christianity, have virtually ignored the reality of Satan and the power of his demonic forces. We have relegated them to distant jungles and foreign subcultures, ignoring that they are a reality in our everyday lives. Across the country, it seems, our ungodly culture is eating the believer's lunch. Is not Satan's chief weapon deception? Is not his chief deception to keep us from even knowing or recognizing he is present and working? Unquote. Can you hear the trumpet calling to battle? Folks, we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle. And it's for the battle for our kids. It's a battle for our young adults. It's a battle for older adults and even for seniors. There is a battle, and Satan's desire is to take you captive. Number one, remember, Satan is no less real now than when he tempted Jesus. He tempted Jesus, and he's not afraid of you. Did you hear what I said? He's not afraid of you. But you can make him flee. How do you make him flee? Resist the devil. Resist him. Can you resist him? Absolutely. Come to the Lord. Stay close to him. Yesterday, I came into the building and Pastor Stephen was in the nursery. I thought that was an interesting place for him to be in the nursery. And then I saw the reason he was reading in the nursery is because he had Simone with him. Lauren was at the doctor's. And when Simone saw me, she looked at me and she looked at her dad and then she looked at me and then she went right to her dad. Yeah. Smart girl. Folks, when we see him coming, go to the Lord. Don't think, I can do this on my own. Man, I've been a Christian for years. No, go to the Lord. Number two, again, Satan is no less active today than when he was opposing Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He asked the Lord to take it away. It was a messenger from Satan. And the Lord said, no, but I'll give you strength to be victorious. He wasn't afraid of Paul. He's not going to be afraid of you. But we can be victorious. That should make you happy. It's better than Detroit Lions. Number three, truly Satan is no less deceptive now than what he was in the Garden of Eden. What's he tell us? Well, you don't have to go to church on Sunday night. Well, the fact of the matter is you don't have to go to church on Sunday night. I've been debating if I should use this next sentence or not. All you in favor of me not using the next sentence, say aye. All you in favor of me using the next sentence, say aye. Well, nobody voted that I shouldn't use it. And some of you voted that I should use it. So I'm going to use it. I want you right now to tell the Lord why you won't be in church tonight. You voted that I say it. You tell the Lord right now, Lord, I'm not going to be in church tonight because. Good, you told him. You think he agreed? See, Satan says you don't have to. Satan says you don't have to read the Bible. Satan says you don't have to pray. Satan says you don't have to invite anybody to church. And you know what we're doing? We're listening. Do we want to be faithful? I wanted a response there. If you want to be faithful, then realize what's happening in our society today. Satan says, don't worry about it. Your neighbor's not going. I was talking to Jim Taylor. Jim Taylor used to sit right over here. He and his wife were members of our church for a number of years, and they moved away. They moved to Indiana. Heaven forgiven them for that, but they moved to Indiana. And now they live in McKinney, Texas. McKinney, Texas. Anybody ever been to McKinney, Texas? I see a couple of hands. All right, McKinney, Texas. He moved to McKinney, Texas in an area where Baptist churches are on every corner. You know how I know? I lived in Arlington, Texas, and there were two Baptist churches on every corner. Okay, they were everywhere. You know what he was told when he moved to McKinney, Texas? He was told he was going to find it hard to find a Baptist church that had Sunday night services and Wednesday night services. That's not the way it was. What happened? God's people got, you said lazy. That wasn't the word I was going to use. I was going to use the word careless. God's people said, hey, I go on Sunday morning, what more do I go? Hey, never mind. Satan says you don't got to do it. And the fact of the matter is you don't have to listen to Satan. I know I get sick and tired of excuses. What about our God? Do you think he gets tired of our excuses? Yeah. Number four. As we read, we are to be sober and vigilant. We are to be alert. To be alert. To be on guard. Folks, we are in a battle. And Satan wants to take you down. Number five, we are not to give place to Satan in any way, shape, or form. The book of Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Give him no room in your heart. Give him no room in your life. Don't give him sanctuary. Paul wrote the church at Corinth and says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Know what he does. We are to fight with spiritual weaponry. As we read there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Just at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, we read this thought, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What are we doing on Sunday night? Well, we sing songs and we preach the word of God. And Paul told them, bring down those things that would keep us from knowing the knowledge of God. We are to understand and operate strictly in the power of the blood of Christ. The book of Revelation chapter 12, if you would please. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. This is a verse that you should have highlighted in your Bible. If you have your Bible on a tablet or on your phone, I do hope that you can highlight those verses also. Verse 11, Revelation 12. And they overcame him. You say, well, who are they? The saints that had died for the cause of Christ. And the him is Satan. We read about Satan in verse 9, where it calls him the old serpent and the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Not by religion, not by Mary, not by the prophets, not by angels, not by good works, but by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. They were willing to die for Christ. What do you think those believers would call us today? Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. Would that be true? Absolutely. You say, Pastor Paul, you're just all riled up. No, I'm scared to death. Because I'm afraid of what's happening to our churches in America today. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what's happening to our teenagers today. I'm afraid of the garbage that we are throwing at them. And we let it into our house. I'm afraid of what young adults are seeing. And what they're doing. I'm afraid of those people who say that church is not relevant, that we don't need it. We have blinded ourselves to the very thing we need most, and that is Jesus Christ. And then we give excuses. Well, it's for another day and age. No, folks, the Bible is for today. We are not to battle alone. But in and through the New Testament Bible-believing church is a called-out body of believers. We are in this together. And when one of us stops and falls by the wayside, it hurts. It hurts. Take your Bibles quickly to the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, a verse well familiar to all of us that attend church. And we know that Jesus is talking about his church. And no, he did not build it on Peter. Peter was a stone, a small stone, where Jesus is the rock. And it says in verse 18 of Matthew 16, and I say unto you that thou art Peter. You are Peter. You are a small rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Let me ask you this. What was important to Jesus Christ? The church. Doesn't the book of Ephesians tell us that he died for the church? The church is more important to him than anything out there. It's important to him. He died for it. He loves it. He cares for it. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let me ask you something. Does America need a better economy? Or does America need the truth? When we say, God bless America, may I say this, that what you're asking the Lord is to give us more gospel preaching churches and more Bible believing Christians who are standing up in the battle. Shall we stand together? Number 17, have thine own way, Lord. I think that's the perfect invitation song. I know we use different ones, different weeks, but we should want the Lord's will to be done in our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would keep us from the evil. Protect us, Lord. And as we have this invitation time, we ask that the Spirit would move, hearts would be touched, lives changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.